Now, I've been trying to convince you that our sins are gone, and convince you that God is on your side, and convince you that if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are no longer that which God had rejected from the fall. That you are now a holy person, a godly person, a righteous person, not by your holiness and your goodness and your godliness, but by His holiness and His goodness and His godliness. That now you are an eternal creature. That is to say, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And when I say walk in the flesh, in that is that you are looking at me in the flesh and I'm looking at you in the flesh, and yet I'm told that I should know no man after the flesh, and you're told that ye should not recognize anyone after the flesh, but that ye should recognize them according to the Spirit. For the Bible said we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you, and if you have not His Spirit, then of course you're none of His. There's but one Spirit, many operations. So then, having been born of the Spirit, the Bible said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. If you don't go to heaven, then you go to hell. There ain't no in between. You know, you have to remember that now. Somebody said, well, it's just a matter of choice. If I want to serve God, I don't want to serve Him, and I just don't know about that right now. But it's not that at all. Jesus said to you, either go to hell or you go to heaven. That is, you repent of your sins and you go to heaven, or you go on in your sins and you go to hell. For the Bible said, if you reject God, you'll perish. Everyone that believeth and is baptized, he shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's the words of the Messiah. He shall be damned. God will cut him off, and the wrath of God will abide upon him. And the Bible said, in the morning, I'll hate your image. If you're not born again to change into that glorious image. As to the new body of the Lord Jesus, he said, if you remain in the image that you're in now, is that what you're born in? As to Adam, and Adam all died, that is the bastard child image, and I will hate it in the morning. For he hates it all through your lifetime. He hates it. If he could see it one time, he would smite it and destroy it. The Bible gives it that the blood is on the seat of atonement right now to take away the sins of the world, and he doesn't even see the sinner in their evil right now. They're getting by as to the blood on the seat of atonement right now because he does not see your wretched doings. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said in my first birth. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So he would destroy you if one time the blood was moved. The grace of God would leave. See, that means that when he comes back in Revelation 19, immediately, as to the blood lifting off of the seat of atonement, he cannot even look at you, because the Bible said his eyes are so pure, he cannot behold iniquity, and you are born and shapen in iniquity. The Bible said, iniquity did my mother conceive me. So then that means that you are the image of iniquity. And Jesus said, unless you are the elect of God, is to accept righteousness by faith, to come unto him that he might move your sins. He said, ye are born of iniquity, shaped in iniquity. And he said, ye are of your father the devil, and his will ye do, as to the lust of the flesh and the gullible things of this world, in that you have his mind and his spirit. But he said unto you that love the Lord, ye are my children, and if children, then heirs, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Having given you all things that pertain unto life, from health to wealth to riches, whatever it might be, God has made you his very sons and daughters. And in doing that by the blood, he has sent the Spirit of his Son, Jesus Christ, into your heart, severally dividing it with each one, that it might cry, Abba, Father. So then the Spirit of Christ in you is crying out to God, Abba, Father. So then we are sons of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what ye shall be like, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. And the Bible said, offer this as a consolation to the brethren, telling them this over and over, that at his appearing, the Thessalonian change, if we have this hope, we will be like him. So I tell you that tonight. So I just have been trying to get over to you that you are now a new creature in Jesus. And ye should be happy to rejoice forevermore, the Bible said. Ye should rejoice forevermore. Ye should never be sad. Ye should never have your spirit cast down. Because what do you have to be sad for? I know that problems come. Evil tidings come. But David of old said, my heart is fixed, that in God. He said, in evil tidings they shall not trouble me. So he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, he said, there are many mansions. I go away to prepare a place. If I go, I'll come again to receive you unto my own, that where I am, there you may be also. Said, if this was not true, I would have told you. So it must be true that there is a place. And if this be true, then we are sons of God. We now have eternal blessings, eternal wealth, eternal peace. He that keepeth his mind stayed up in Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. And the Bible said all the paths of God are peace. So then we are children of peace. We love peace and we make peace. For peace is made by the children of peace. There is no peace to the wicked. They may say in the Middle East or somewhere else we're going to have peace. They may sign peace treaties and they may agree among themselves. But the Bible said their agreement at their tables will not stand. For there is no peace to the wicked. And when they cry peace, that sudden destruction shall come upon them as a woman in travail with child. So then we know there's not going to be any peace in this world until Jesus himself comes and brings peace in the great millennium age. So I say again, I'm trying to talk with you and trying to convince you that we are now at the end time. And because of that, the revelation of the Word of God is to Jesus Christ, that it is coming to you that you may believe. Because with this teaching of today, as to reveling in the world and being partakers of the things of the world and going out into the flesh, the gullible desires of the flesh, the carnal mind, that will never, never perfect the church. Never. You can never be perfect in Christ that way. Never. The things that they're teaching, as in general, will never perfect the church. As to teaching you that you repent today and then you got to repent tomorrow and repent the next day and you know you do all these things and God understands that you revel around in the world and do all these things is unlike Him, but as long as you come and repent. See, that's still the teachings of Catholicism. Repent and the priest will forgive your sins. And that the Bible says concerning the minister, whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted, whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. So it's the same old thing as confessing, but not forsaking. The Bible said to confess your sins and forsake your sins. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. He'll die in his sins. So I said all of that to say that as long as we are not enlightened, whereas the Bible said, in the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might comprehend the heights, depth, width, and length of this wonderful salvation of God, as long as we are not enlightened, then that means that we're not going to understand. For the Bible said that the righteous will be enlightened. They will understand. But the wicked will not be enlightened. They are in darkness, even till now. And the Bible said they will not see light when good cometh. For Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, as we say, that they should not see good when good cometh. And if the salvation of this gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost, who Satan, having blinded their eyes, has cut off from the wonderful light of God. As to your image, I know we think a lot of the old image of sin when we're out in the world. You know, they powder the face, they paint the eyebrows, and they fix up the body, and they look for the pretty clothes, and they want the money, and they want the places of convenience, and all these kind of things to eat and drink and revel and give themselves to the passions of the world and listen to the vain jingles of all these things and look for positions in the world. I know that they do this because they love the body, and they are self-esteemed. The Bible said, esteeming that which should not be esteemed, as to self-esteem of that which is not right. but rather that ye should esteem that which is in God, and highly esteem those that labor among you, giving double honor to them that labor in the gospel, but not to esteem the things of the world. Self-esteem is the things of the world, for Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. And the Bible said for you not to do that, that you should look on the things of another, esteem others greater than yourself, and seek the welfare of another rather than seeking the security of your own self, as men always seek, even as the Gentiles that seek after the things of the world. And so then in this, we are told that we should lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. That is, laying aside the sinful ways of life and the human desires of life, to make no provisions for the flesh as to fulfill the lust of the desire thereof. And as the early church that followed the Lord with all of their heart and with all their substance. Tonight, let's read in chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews. This is a great, wonderful book. I wish we had time to read the whole thing and talk to you about it. Chapter 2, the book of Hebrews. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels were steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witnesses both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection unto his feet. For in that he put all in subjection unto him, he left nothing that is not put unto him. But now we see not yet all things put unto him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captaining of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, is able also to succor them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ has a son over his house, his own house. Whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he sware that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. There, let us therefore fear, lest he promise, being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I read quite a bit of scripture there, but I want to drop back right here. He's speaking of the provocation, or the provoking of God. That was 40 years in the wilderness. But we drop back to a place here where he is speaking directly to us in the conquering of death. In the conquering of death. For it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Then he tells us here in the scripture, he says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, I don't know what you get out of that, and I don't know how you understand that, but I know as a minister what is in that and what it means to us. And I say this so often, the Bible said, and God looked down from heaven, and having heard the prisoners, in a day accepted that he succored those, and he loosed them that was appointed unto death, which means everybody was appointed unto death because of the fall of Adam. But when God looked down at a time appointed as to the Moed, as to Calvary, and accepted that day in my behalf, then the Bible teaches that at that time he tasted death for me and he loosed me from the bondage of death. All of my life, I, as in my lifetime, have been subject to bondage because of the fear of death. But when Christ came into my heart, I lost the fear of death, and I have no more fear of death. Today, I have no fear of death. I haven't had any fear of death since Jesus came into my heart. And the reason I don't have any fear of death is because I cannot die. Though a man might mutilate my body, and though a man might shoot me, a man might cut me, and I wouldn't want to be cut and beaten, banged on any more than anybody else, because it hurts through the human senses. But as to my life, as to my life on the inside, having a fear for my life, I have no fear of death whatsoever. We that are Christians have no fear of death. If you fear death, then the Bible said you're not made perfect in love. And the Bible said God hath made perfect or perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. So then, if you are afraid, all you need to do is get born again. When you get born again, then you won't be afraid. Someone would say, but I am a believer, Brother Pike. I do believe, but I still fear death. I did not say if you was a believer. I said if you was born again. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes and trembles. But he said, if you have not my spirit, then you're none of mine. And if the spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall also by his spirit quicken your mortal body. By the spirit that dwelleth within you. Like I said about little Jonathan Whitlow the other night, when the Spirit of God came upon him, the Holy Ghost came in him, he had his sleeves up to here, and we looked over there, and what you call goose pimples was all over his arms, everywhere, like the hair standing up. Job said, and an image passed before me, and the hair stood up on me when it passed before me. And so then spirits that move into your spirits, whether it's good spirits or bad spirits, you'll feel a result of that spirit. If it's a spirit of lust, you'll find that the passions of the world just gets interwoven within your taste buds. It's as though you could just eat one another. And of course, this leads to perversion and all those kind of things. The same way with the gossiping of the world, or the reveling of the world, or the sports of the world, or anything else in the world, it gets inside of you through spirits. And Satan, that savors the things of the world, it just literally eats you up. And you can't control your passions, and you can't control yourself. And you go after whiskey, and you go after dope, you go after buying and selling and eating and drinking and frolicking and all these things of the world. See, you do that because you are not right with God, and because Satan is using your body. And thus it is that Satan defiles your body, and then God has to destroy the body, because God made you his temple to dwell in that temple. And when you do not let God dwell in that temple, and you let Satan in that temple, it is defiled, and then God cannot dwell in it. So then, when you come to the knowledge of the truth, you're in great danger. From that time on, you are in great danger. For the Bible said, if you come to the knowledge of the truth, and then you turn back to the things of the world, then there's no more sacrifice. You're gone. There's no more sacrifice for sin. You're gone out into the waters of corruption, and you've gone out to death, and God rejects you, and you go into hell. So when you come to the knowledge of the truth, you have to accept it. When the Jews come to the knowledge of the truth, they're going to have to accept it. Paul said the way that God has preserved the Jews down through the years, oh, the great wisdom of God, he said, in concluding them in unbelief, that he might not have to impute their trespasses unto them. For the Bible said, though sin reigned over man all the way from Adam down to Moses, yet where there is no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. And they did not get the knowledge of sin until the law came in the day of Moses. So if we look at the Jew has not got the knowledge of sin. God has not let them know what the knowledge of sin is. All of those wrongs that they've done, God has not imputed them unto them. As in the world, the blood is still on the seat of atonement, and those people are still safe to this extent that they may go on to their destruction. But so far as God, he's allowing them to go on to have medical aid and have all these wonderful cares of the body and cares of life. Whereas, when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, there will not be any medical aid, not even any healing medicines. Your physicians won't have enough understanding to even perfect a medicine. And the Bible said in that day, when God takes the blood away, then you'll know that God's healing was that which he gave us through the medical world, in letting them reflect the wonderful divine power of his deliverance and mind and understanding. And when that blood is gone, then the wrath of God is upon the unbeliever, and the Bible said they won't even be able to die. They'll beg for death and won't even be able to die. God will let them gnaw their tongues for pain. And the Bible said all of the kingdom will be filled with darkness as to intellectual ignorance. And the Bible teaches that it'll be so horrible, pain and misery, such horribleness and persecution and tribulation upon the people as was not since the world ever was, but it'll be upon them. And he tells you and I as Christians to pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth, or be ready at the translation or the change, at the fulfilling of the days of the Gentiles, just before the Jews come in. And folks, we're right there at it with this war over in the east and the things happening as it's happening. Then we're right down there near the coming of the Lord. All right, so then we see here, he says, and by death he destroyed Satan. Now remember this, I preached it to you for a long time, and a lot of times you still don't understand and you still don't see. The Bible says all of our lives were subject to bondage because of fear of death. For you are the bond's child. As to the Ishmael child or the Ishmaelite, as to the type, you are the bond's child of this world, being in bondage by reason of your intellectual reasoning. For the Bible said, and Satan taketh the people of this world into bondage and captivity at his will. You are in bondage as to the beggarly elements of the world, as to the desire of eating and drinking and buying and selling and reveling and doing all these things, as to the passions and gossiping, backbiting, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. All of these things you're in bondage to because of your human senses. So then we that are born again are not in bondage that, because our body in the sight of God is dead. And the Bible says that we are free from the body of sin. And it's buried in the lovely name of Jesus and forever taken away. And in his sight we have no sins. Now, so we see that Jesus by death overcome death for all men, having been delivered from my offenses that he might be made my sin, being raised again for my justification, that I might be made his righteousness, God's righteousness in Christ Jesus. And now I am free from the body. For at death the spirit goes back to God who gave it. My spirit went back to God, in that the Bible said at my new birth it was hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And when he in Revelation 19 appears on the white horse, the Bible said, when he, my life, appears or returns, even in Thessalonians change, then my life will come back to me, because that is my life. He is my life. And my spirit is interwoven with oneness as to him. And that spirit is in God, and that spirit is free from the body in the sight of God, because the Bible said, for us to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus, as to the delivering of offenses, as to him being sent to Calvary for my offenses. So then I am free from sin. And the Bible said, he that has been baptized into Christ Jesus hath put on Christ Jesus. And therefore it is no longer you living, but Christ. And Paul said, it is not me living, but Christ Jesus. I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh. It's not me speaking, but the life I live now is Christ on the inside of me. Or that is to say, in God's sight, he never sees me as to my first birth, as the natural image, as the first man Adam, which is born unto death, for in Adam all die. But he sees me as the Christ is to the resurrected one in the new image. And the Bible said, as we have borne the image of the earthly, that is to say Adam's soul, shall we bear the image of the heavenly, that is to say that celestial body, that eternal body in the heavens, not made with hands. Even the body of Christ is the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, which ye are already in the sight of God. For now, beloved, ye are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what ye shall be like as to visual sight, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope on the inside of him purifies himself by faith. The Bible said, purifying the heart, purifies himself even as he is pure. And so then we know that we are no more what we was as the old creature, but old things have passed away, and we are now in a new world. And he said, behold, I make all things new. So then if you have a new spirit, then are you a new person. And God does not see your old body and the faults and the stumblings and the staggers anymore. He sees you in the future as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and accredits this to you while you're yet here in this present world. And he said, you that are born of God cannot sin, and that the Holy Spirit has sealed your spirit against anything that Lucifer can do. And you are by the body of corruption, sin, dead. The Bible says the body is dead because of sin. So then if the Lord by death destroyed my body of sin, then my spirit is with God and I cannot sin against God. For he that is born of God cannot sin. He keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. In that the spirit of light, even Christ, has sealed your spirit, and darkness cannot get close to light, because light eradicates darkness. And because the devil is the one that causes the trouble, and since he's not around to cause us trouble, then we cannot sin. See, That is to say, if we believe the word of God and we're saved by faith in the word of God, let God be truth and every man be a liar. To his own surmising, the Bible said it's to the modern knowledge of this world, science, education. He said it's falsely so called. Falsely so called. Said they're ever learning and never able to come to the truth, knowledge of the knowledge of the truth. All right, so then when we look at this, we know then that God, through Christ Jesus, has destroyed Satan. Isn't that right? The Bible said he hath destroyed him that hath power over death, even the devil. Is that what the Bible says? Somebody say amen if it is. He said, and Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Wasn't the works of the devil sickness, arrogancy, jealousy, haughtiness, the lust of the flesh, contrariness to God, intellectual ignorance? Isn't all that of the devil? The love of the flesh, the Bible said, if you have in your being the love of the world, the desire of the things of the world, you have not the love of God within you. So you're none of his. So then he destroyed the works of the devil as to the oppression, as to the worry, as to the nervousness, as to the poverty, as all of these things. And we as children of God are to come into these things by faith. And we're born into the kingdom of light and in the kingdom of where it says, I have given you all things that pertain unto life. And old things have gone away. So you have all things. So we're in that world where we have all things. For God's blessed and maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. It is God's blessing and spirit that giveth thee the power to get well. So then we're on this side of the Jordan as to the carnal mind of intellectual reasoning, as to the death that came upon Eve. He said, in the day that thou eatest thereof. Now we have the mind of Christ, even the mind from the tree of life. And today, our leaves don't wither, our fruits come forth in the season, whatever we do prospers. Having been passed from death unto life, now we are alive forevermore. And the gift of God is eternal life. So we pass from death unto life because we left the body of corruption and the body of sin. So the Lord not only destroyed the body of corruption and the body of sin, but in so doing to you and I, he destroyed the devil that hath power over the body. That is to say, if I have no body of sin, what power does the devil have over me? If I am not in this world and I'm not of this world and God has chosen me out of this world and I'm not in the flesh and I have been translated into the marvelous world of God and the marvelous kingdom of heaven, and I have been taken up and hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received till the restoring of all things and the coming of that great millennium day of rest. If I've already entered into that rest because of his goodness, then how can the devil bother me? Where is the devil? Somebody said, well, he's beating my brains out. Well, you need to get off of his territory. You need to get out of his world. You need to go to another place. The devil don't beat no Christian's brains out. In the first place, he doesn't have any living brains to be beat out. The thing that God did was destroy that old brain to start with because it wasn't nothing but trouble. He done away with the body of death. And this understanding that we have now in the sight of God, and this brain and these eyes and hands, and whatever God sees them as holy, godly, pure, even though we may stumble and stagger, not allowing for these things, not condemning ourselves when we do stumble, keeping our faith in God's word, that he hath kept us from sin. For if we willfully do these things that are wrong after that we come to the knowledge of the truth, that's proof that we do not have the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God would never do a thing like that. Jesus always the same yesterday, today, and forever. He goes after the things of God. He does always the things that please the Father. When that Spirit of Christ was in that body, as that Spirit of Christ is in my body, he still does the same thing today because he's the same thing yesterday and day and forever. And though I receive this by a measure, every person receiving by measure, this measure should grow into a greater measure, on to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus. So that is to say, I should take this measure and enlarge upon this measure until I can get as Paul and say, it's not me living but Christ. So then, though the body is still in this world as people see it visually, yet we don't know each other after the flesh, whether it be a sinner out there. We know him as it was with Judas, that that's a devil and that's the image of the devil. And that the father of them people are the devil. But to the elect of God and them that love the Lord, they are not beasts, they're not swine, they're not dogs, as the Lord referred to them, that are without. We are those that are within. And we are not devils, and we are not dogs, and we're not swine. Neither are we the image of the devil. But having been transformed in mind, translated in spirit, we have in his mind already been transfigured through this wonderful image of holiness, which is his Son, even Christ. And so then he counts our image dead until the time of the change, as to the Thessalonian change. It is dead in the sight of God, and he accredits to us right now that wonderful body of Jesus Christ that is in the future of that glorified change of that heavenly body. For Paul said there's a natural body and a spiritual body. Having borne the earthly, we'll bear the image of the heavenly. So we can see by this that death is gone. He destroyed him, even the devil. So the devil to you and I is destroyed. Where is the devil then? Where is the devil to cause me trouble? Somebody would say, well, all this sounds good, Brother Pike, but I'm just not spiritual enough to get into that. That's right, you're not spiritual enough to get into that because you're not born of the Spirit. For he that is born of the Spirit is spirit. And you've never been born again, so you're carnally reasoning, and you're in the carnal mind, and the Bible says the things of God are foolishness to the carnal mind. You have to bring science, you have to bring something about the astronauts, something about airplanes, something about how the locomotive, something about eating and drinking, something about buying and selling, something about the powers and ingenuities of this world. And then it will lighten you up at dancing and frolicking and music and singing, all these things. It will strike your five human senses and you'll light up. See, because you are of this world. But we're not of this world. See, and therefore we that are spiritual, give the more earnest heed to these things, lest we let them slip. And we take heed how that we hear these, that we might incorporate them within our everyday lifestyle. So we see by this that God has destroyed him that hath power over death. So then we know for sure, for a certainty, we know that the devil has been destroyed. He's gone. He is no more. Though there'd be many preachers and priests that would contest that with me. You know, but it doesn't make any difference. That's what the word says, and heaven and earth will pass away. But it'll be there in the day of judgment, and I'll be there to witness with it and for it. So then the devil has been destroyed, in that your body is now dead. You are dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Leave it that way. Yield your members as unto God, as unto holiness, as unto the desire for spiritual things. Let your conversation be in heaven. Go after the spiritual things and leave those carnal, natural things alone. And God will add unto you all of those natural things as to whatever you need in life, giving you the desires of your heart. But keep your mind on God. To have the natural things of the world is for Satan to have you under his control if you are carnally minded. But to have the mind of God is to dwell in heaven in your spirit, and then God will give you all these carnal, natural things he made for your father Adam and for you to enjoy, that you can have the fullness of all those wonderful things. So then to walk in the spirit, you'll not walk in the flesh and fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what we need to do, is to walk in the spirit. We know the devil is gone because there's no body for him to work through. There is not a human body present for him to work through when it comes to the saints of God. He hath nothing to work with. He can't work through the human body because your image in the sight of God and your human body is dead and buried. It's gone. It's been buried in a watery grave, and your sins are remitted through the name of Jesus Christ. But getting at Jerusalem, then to the uttermost parts of the earth, you must preach the gospel to every creature. And the promise of the Holy Ghost is unto you as those in Jerusalem, and unto your children, and unto the Gentiles as us in this day, as them afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Saying, as I speak this to one, I speak the same thing to all people. The God, the Messiah of all people, that will believe. All right, so then we see that Satan is destroyed. He's gone. There is no devil to the Christian. A lot of times I say this, and some people look at me with kind of a hollow expression, as if to say, well, bless God, if there's no devil, who's causing me all this problem? Well, the one that's causing you all that problem is you. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, that couldn't be. Well, Eve caused herself a problem. Somebody said, the devil caused the problem. The devil didn't do nothing to her. She'd done what she wanted to. The Bible said she looked and saw the tree and lusted after it. The devil had no power over her till she gave herself to the devil. And did you know, to prove that that's true, that there's coming a time for 1,000 years millennium reign when God is going to let the nations be there and the Christians be there, and God is going to let the nations have opportunity to come up to his house to worship, and that day the house of the Lord shall be established. The Bible said all nations will flow unto it. In that day, he's going to let them come up there. Did you know that in that day, they still won't come to the house of God? And the Bible said in that day, there won't be any rain on their crops. And in that day, if they act up, that the plague from heaven will come down immediately and consume them till their eyes will consume away in their sockets and their tongues will consume away in their mouth. Did you know that? See, to prove that it's you, that it's not God, death came by man. It didn't come by God. Man was the one that did that. Gave place to the devil. And now God has come down in human form as Jesus. Give you the opportunity as Adam had to completely stay away from that. And now you are a sovereignty. You have the ability to stay away from that. Unless you invite him into your own life and go on with him. And then he is a nightmare to you for the rest of your natural life. He is a nightmare to you. Because if you woke up and you saw the light. The Bible said when they awoke they saw his glory. Then you know that the glory is to the light of God, done away with the darkness and all the hideous things, as to the terrors of that nightmare, that it doesn't exist. It's only lying vanities, as is sickness and poverty and all the other things, and even the world that will vanish away around you. For all is vanity, 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 and vexation of spirit, Solomon said. So it's a mind, and when you have the mind eradicated, the mind of God comes into you, which is the mind of life, light, eternal life and happiness, prosperity and blessing. So there you are. If you want to believe it, you can. If you don't want to believe it, you don't have to. You know, if we deny him, the Bible said he remaineth faithful and cannot deny himself. And with this, I'd like to try to close out right here. A lot of people don't believe because the way the ministry has been, people have preached this as some mystic sort of a thing where you have to believe it into existence. And if you don't believe it into existence, then it don't exist. If you don't believe it into existence, then it didn't happen. And if you don't believe it, then it never was there. But folks, that isn't right at all. There was a man that walked this earth by the name of Jesus. He was a natural man. He gave his natural blood out of his natural veins. And it's there as a record today. And you can go there and see the tomb where he laid. You can go to the Holy Land where he was born and where he was reared up as a child. And it's all actual facts. There's no preaching of it where you have to believe it into existence. This is not a lying thing. It's actual facts. And you can go see it for yourself. You can accept it for yourself. You can hear it for yourself. Know it for yourself. It is actuality. It's not a myth. It's not something that you have to believe into existence. And faith is nothing more or nothing less than you hearing the words of God that brings to your understanding these actual facts and historical facts that took place. And faith is nothing more or less than you believing that you've heard. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I tell you and you just accept it. And if you don't accept it, you make God a liar as in your own way of life and the wrath of God abideth upon you. So then we're not preaching some kind of mystic thing that you have to believe into power. If you deny him, he remains faithful and cannot deny himself. These things actually happen. He actually done these things for you. He actually destroyed the devil. He actually destroyed the body of sin. It's gone forever. He took a natural body and destroyed it because sin come by one man. Righteousness come by one man. All the world under sin because of one man. All the world under righteousness because of one man. And that's why that all over the world today, the blood prevails, that even sinners get by with what they're doing. And the very minute that blood comes off the seat of atonement, no more grace. Revelation 12, Satan goes through the expulsion. He's cast out of heaven. And the people on the earth go into darkness and the wrath of God because God cannot even look at their image. And only you that are born to the Spirit of God will continue in the grace and blessings and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, even with eternal joy and riches and life. All right, let's stand together. Makes it real hard on me, as I said. When we get down toward the end, in your spirit, you begin to go to sleep. Jesus said one time, pray, and he said, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? He found him asleep. The second time, he went back and prayed, and he went back again and found him asleep. The third time, he went back and prayed, he went back again and found him asleep. So then, couldst thou not watch with me 1 hour? I find that even 1 hour ministering in the day that we're living in, that though people will look right at you and be reverent, their minds and spirits are gone. But nevertheless, as Jesus said, when they awoke, they saw his glory. And should you ever awake, you'll see his glory. And if you don't ever awake, then you won't see his glory, because the Bible said that the wicked shall never see this good. They shall never see this glory. They shall never see that beautiful city. They shall never see that wonderful, wonderful life of God and the glory that God has given to Jesus. But he that hath Christ Jesus within him, the Bible said, Christ in you is the hope of that glory. Even the glories, I say so often, that appeared as he stood with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. So then, you that are hid with Christ in glory, and you that have this glory in your heart, then rejoice forevermore. Because though this sounds like a fairy tale to you, yet it's real. I live in this world. I'm part of that world, and that world's part of me. And all that's born into that world is part of that world, and the world is that world is part of them. But you that are not born again, that have not received his spirit, are like wandering stars wandering through the earth from one place to another, never contented, never satisfied. It's like that song that we sang, I have found that joy, all complete that my soul was searching for. So we're down at the end of the way now. As to the Gentiles and the Jews is about ready to come in. The days of the Gentiles will be over. Won't be any chance to be saved after that. The blood has moved off of the seat of atonement for the Gentiles. You want to have a chance then to be saved as to this wonderful grace of God. All right, let's sing together, can we? I love him. I love him. Can you sing that with me? All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once again now, I love him. The altars are open. I love him, oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book is thine. Without him, I can do nothing. Can you say it with me? Without him, I would but fail. For without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Oh, Jesus.
hear him today. Oh, don't turn him away. Jesus, sweet Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Can you sing that with me? For without him, you can do nothing. Without him, you will but fail. And without him, soon you will be drifting, just like a ship without any sail. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, hear him today. Don't turn him away, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Without him, how lost you would be. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail print in his hand. Come home. Can all of us just come to the altar tonight? It's supper time. The shadows fall at the knee. Thanks. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down that whole familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call at set of sun. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows fall at the knee fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. Can we lift our hands up, close our eyes? Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself, for the evil is sufficient in the day thereof. The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible said, call upon him while he is near, call upon him while he is nigh. Work while it is day, for soon the night cometh, and no man can work. So, if you've never committed your heart and spirit and life to
to the Lord Jesus. If you've never made the great commitment, you need to make it. I was just thinking Sister Marie left today to go down into Mexico. Her dad had died. You know, he'd taken sick. They went down there and tried to talk to him about salvation. He's had great opportunity. I trust that he'd come in. But anyway, they had to leave this morning during the night. I think he died. A few days ago, sister over in Mississippi died, relative to some of our people of God here. And all the time, different ones are dying. As a matter of fact, I saw a night vision last night where there was a crash. Two different crashes I saw in the night vision. Bad crashes. And then graveyards appeared and people at graveyards. And then I saw, as it was not in a night vision, but as I see sometimes when I'm just kneeling and praying or sitting around or laying around or whatever it might be, and I saw two other things that I made mention to the brethren about my wife, that I'm expecting to hear something from it like we always hear when we see these things. The Lord is moving throughout the world. We sang that song, "Move, O Lord, in us." God is moving by Spirit. "Move, O Lord, in me." And I wonder, you know, concerning the Bethlehemites or they that are Bethlehem, how many of you are actually giving your body to God day by day? The Bible said the body is the Lord's and that we should present it a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And if you do not present your body unto God, a living sacrifice, then that means Satan is going to take your body and he's going to use it for human desire. He's going to use it for the human world as to knowledge, and he's going to use it up. And then it's going to be gone, and there's not going to be any refurbishing. There's not going to be any change for you. There's not going to be that of you bearing the image of the heavenly, because God isn't going to refurbish. You're going to be gone. See, if you use it for Satan, then it's going to be gone. If you use it for your worldly desire, then it's going to be gone. If you follow after money and passions and the things of this world, then your body is going to be used up by Satan. But if you'll give your body to the Spirit of God, he'll use it. It'll be holy. It'll be godly. It'll be eternal. It'll be beautiful. It'll be wonderful. Someday it will outshine the brightness of the noonday with the glory of God. For the glory of this world is one glory, and the glory of God is another glory altogether. They that are billionaires and millionaires have the glory of this world. They sparkle, they glitter, as do the movie stars and all those kind of things. Their money, the bright lights, the new apparel, the fine automobiles, all of the things that they have. See, but your glory will be greater than that glory. For the Bible says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former house. And it shall be the eternal glory, the brightness of the noonday, outshining the brightness of the noonday. For he that has turned many to righteousness, the Bible said, shall shine as the brightness of the noonday. So we come here, hear the word of God. When you hear the word of God, do you actually give the more earnest heed to it? Have you actually listened to what the Spirit said to you tonight? The Bible said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. The world will never hear this. They don't have a ear to hear it. They'll never know these things. But have you actually listened carefully? And have you taken heed how that you heard, that you might incorporate this within your lifestyle? Have you heard these things as to the salvation of your soul? Have you heard them as to incorporate them in your body? Are you taking heed? Did you pay attention to them? Or did your mind wander off, as I know that numbers of you did there at the latter part of the service, and as you so frequently do? Folks, the Lord will leave you. I perceive that he would leave many of the Bethlehemites if it was not for the fact that he uses this for a soul-winning station and a launching pad to send the gospel around the world. Therefore, he tolerates your wrongs, putting up with you, just like he tolerates the world's wrong, putting up with them until he can change the body of the Christian into that glorified image. But someday he'll leave you. Someday. He has left some of you already, and unawares, he's gone. And though you're religious, and though you walk as believers, they that hear and see
as I speak. Yet he's gone. And you've left him through your worldly attire and your gullible desire, and you're just a ritualistic as to religion anymore. And there's nothing to you. But still, there are those that love the Lord. The Bible said to serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. There are still those that are walking after him, that's giving their bodies unto him and trying to conform to his way of life. More and more, they're trying to be like Jesus, as the songwriter said. And of course, this is what I want to do. I want to do what I can for Christ. I want to be like Jesus, as the song says. Let's sing that little chorus together while we're standing here. To be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like all through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. Can you sing that with me? From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger, on earth I long just to be like him. From sin I'm forgiven, I'm akin to heaven, on earth I long just to be like, one more time together, just to be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on this earth I long, just to be like him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like him. Let's sing this. Eyes closed and hands lifted up. And I will praise my Lord. I will praise my Lord. Praise that Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory on people, for his blood has washed away every stain. Sing it again with me now. I will praise Lamb for sinners slain.
let us give Him glory, all He gave. For His blood has washed away every stain.
One more time together.
Let us pray.
While we're singing, I'm going to ask Brother Roger, if he will, to come up and dismiss us. Somebody was telling me that they had a vision of Brother Roger, or a dream, the other night. And in the vision, said he was really pleasing God. And in the vision, they heard the Lord say, or it was as the Lord made them to know, that Roger could have whatever he wanted, if he just asked the Lord, because it pleased the Lord. So I ask him tonight to come in to the benediction. I ask him to come and pray with us tonight. He's really tried.
Has washed away every stain.
Once again, can we say it one more time as he comes?
And I will praise Him.
Can you call on the name of the Lord Jesus tonight? It'll come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you ask Him to save you tonight? Will you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Oh, forgive me, Lord, of my sins. Take away my sins tonight, Jesus.
Can you give Him a wave offering?